Share a message with you that is not only timely, but one that we should all take heed to because it's very, very important. And we're going to look at just a few scriptures today, but this is one of my favorites. I can tell you that I read this passage of scripture almost daily, and because it has so many benefits and it reveals so much. But here the writer of Proverbs says this in verse 20, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings." We're beginning at verse 20, Proverbs chapter 4. "Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they, my words, are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh." Notice verse 23. "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Now, of course, I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. But this scripture speaks volumes. "My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those that find them." And literally, health, the Hebrew word marpe, which means a cure or a medicine, to all their flesh. And many times I share this scripture with people. This is a recipe for healing. Keeping God's word before your eyes. Keeping it in the midst of your heart. Notice verse 23, though. This is what we want to focus in on this morning. "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." The New Living Translations says this, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." And so here the writer of Proverbs, by the Holy Spirit, is giving us some instruction that is very, very good stuff. This is something we need to live by. Protect your heart, guard your heart. The word heart here is the Hebrew word lev, and it means the inward man. And for those of you who may not be aware, there is an inward part of you as well as an outward part of you. The Bible talks about man having three parts, spirit, soul, and body. And when I look at you, I can see the house that you live in, your body. But that's not the real you. The real you is on the inside, and that consists of your spirit and your soul. And we can break it down further. The New Testament talks about us being preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, our whole spirit and soul and body. Three distinct parts. Well, Peter, when he wrote to the church in his epistle, talked about the hidden man of the heart. There again, the word heart in the Greek, cardia, means the inward man, the person who lives on the inside. And we often make a mistake when we try to judge people based on what we see on the outside. Never make a determination about somebody's character or their usefulness based on their flesh. That's a mistake that men and women make. The Bible says, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. He knows what's going on the inside. And so here the writer of Proverbs says, guard your heart. And the word guard or protect literally means to stand guard, to protect, to be ready to withstand or defend the heart. So you have to protect your inward man, the person on the inside. And so what I'm going to share with you today is how to keep your heart healthy or how to protect your heart. There are some correlations between natural life and spiritual life that we can always tie together. You know, we live in a culture where there is an epidemic of heart disease. And, there are many factors that go into it. I heard a cardiovascular surgeon years ago said this to me. He said, if it weren't for, and he named three of the most popular fast food restaurants. If it weren't for, and I'm not going to name them, A, B, and C, he said, I'd be out of business. That's what he said. What was he saying? He's saying because people don't eat the right food, it causes problems with their pulmonary system, and invariably it can lead to heart disease. So there's a natural illustration that we need to pay attention to. If you want to have a healthy heart, you need to eat right. You need to eat right. You know, when I was a young guy, like your age, I mean, I didn't pay much attention to what I ate. You know, pizza, burgers, hot dogs, you know, all that stuff that tastes good, but it's not the most healthy food to eat. But I remember when I had a birthday and I hit 40. I changed the way I did things. Had to. You can't eat like that and stay healthy long term. Are you with me? And so one of the first things a doctor will tell you if you're having a problem with your pulmonary system, your heart, first thing he's going to zero in on is what you're eating. Am I telling the truth? Some of y'all have had those appointments. You need to cut this out. You need to cut that out. You need to eat more green vegetables. All right? Now, the same thing is true spiritually. If you're going to protect your inward man, you need to watch what you feed on. And I'm not talking about natural food. I'm talking about what you hear. Now, we often think that it's all right to just, hey, anything and everything is all right. Listen, everything is not healthy for your spirit. Everything is not healthy for your soul. I remember years ago I rented a movie. My son recommended this movie, and I'm a movie buff. I like movies. But this particular movie, it was Raging Bull with Robert De Niro. I like Robert De Niro as an actor. He's a pretty good actor. I couldn't get through the first 3 minutes. All the cussing, F-bombs, this, that, and the other. It made me so uncomfortable. Hey, I'm a grown guy, right? And it made me so uncomfortable because I got my kids watching this thing. I said, that's it. That's enough. And everybody's like, what? I said, I'm not going to listen to that. I'm not going to allow that garbage in my ears because it ends up on the inside. I said, I've had enough. I turned it off. Other people were disappointed. What are you doing? I said, I'm not going to listen to that stuff. No, I understand it's a good movie, okay. But there are many things that are culturally acceptable. Now, you're going to think I'm being legalistic, but I'm not. I'm going to help you here in a minute. Many things are acceptable in the culture. That doesn't mean you should eat it. You with me? There are some things that people eat that they love. Now, my wife and I have different tastes when it comes to stuff. She likes cheese. Lots of cheese on everything. Nachos, you know, all this stuff. Whenever I get a sandwich, I always get it with no cheese. Whenever I order a salad from Panera Bread, I get my salad with no cheese. Nothing wrong with cheese. I just don't like it. And I can trace back to when I began to have an aversion to cheese. It was because of a third grade field trip. And we went someplace. I lived in California at the time. And y'all remember the milk you used to get at school, little half pints? Well, our milk stayed on the school bus that day. And for some reason, it spoiled. And we got back on the bus, the milk spoiled. And you know that smell? I had to smell that all the way home. And the next time I was confronted with a chance, I used to eat blue cheese right out of the jar. I associated that cheese smell with that spoiled milk. I was done. I was done. Listen, that was 55 years ago. I'm still done. Okay? I just don't like cheese. Nothing wrong with it, and I'm not going to eat it. I remember in 2000, I was in Italy, and I was with a group of people, and I was in downtown Genoa, Italy, old city. And I saw a butcher shop across the way, and I thought, man, I'm going to go check out this butcher shop, see what they have to offer. I walked across the street, opened the door, little Italian fella was so happy I came in, he came up to greet me. And when I opened the door, the smell of all that cheese hit me right between the eyes. And it was overwhelming. And the guy was like saying in broken English, can I help you? And I'm like, oh, no. I had to walk out of there. I couldn't stand the smell. Now that's me. Okay? And a lot of you love cheese. There's nothing wrong with cheese. All right? Nothing in the Bible says, thou shalt not eat cheese. Okay? Hey, if you love it, you give God thanks for it. Good for you. But I'm not a cheese person. All right? Now, there are some things that people eat that are very attractive, but they're not healthy. Same thing is true with everybody who talks. Paul said it like this, there are many voices in the world, and none of them is without significance. In other words, they're all saying something. But you have a responsibility to guard your inward man. Because if the wrong thing gets past your eyes and ears and gets on the inside of you, it will affect you adversely. Are you with me? Now, listen to me. I am not teaching you to live a sheltered life and the only book you read is the Bible. Not at all. You need to expand your knowledge and learn some things that will help you in life. But you need to be careful what you hear. Jesus said it like this many times in the Gospels. Take heed what you hear. For the same way you hear it is the same way it will produce in your life. So everything that you hear is not going to benefit you. Are you with me? So how do we determine what's wrong and what's right, what we should eat, what we shouldn't? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. You know, I remember years ago, I was having a conversation with a guy, and I thought he was cool. You know what I mean? You know, what he was saying sounded good. It was great. I could agree with it. You know, we were talking about spiritual things. He brought up the spiritual part. And so we're talking, and all of a sudden, he said to me, yeah, man, he says, I can tell you're cool. He said, you got that third eye. And I thought, third eye? I'm thinking of the Cyclops, you know, got the. No, he meant a different third eye. And I thought, oh boy. And then he continued to talk and he was cool with me. But then he got off into this goofy stuff. He sort of drifted way out into left field, made a right turn at Saturn, and he was headed for Neptune, you know. He was out there. And in my mind, I said this, wee-oo, space cadet. This guy is nuts. Now, you know, I felt sorry for the guy. I really did. Because he had heard something years before, and he gave too much attention to what he heard, and it was totally off the wall. See, now he embraces that stuff. And it's sad. You know, because he's left common sense. Now, how does that happen? Well, it's easy. Notice Matthew chapter 4. Here's something that Jesus said. And Jesus was actually quoting the word when he said this. Satan tempted him and said in verse 3, now if you be the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. In other words, we live by the word, not just by our earthly food. Now, here's something I want you to think about. Man shall not live by bread alone. We understand that if you're going to live on the earth, you've got to put fuel in your body. And bread represents food, what you eat. Man shall not live by bread or food alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So we live our lives by the word. Jesus was quoting Deuteronomy 8:3 when he said that. So we live our lives by the word. In other words, God's word is food for our spirit, just as bread is food for our body. Let me say that again. God's word is food for our spirit, our inward man, and our soul, just as bread is food for our body. The problem is we focus in so much on the natural. You know, somebody used to say it like this: we feed our bodies 3 hot meals a day, feed our spirit 1 cold snack a week, and we wonder why we have no power. Well, we need to put more emphasis on the most important things. Remember where we began. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they, my words, are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. We should have a regimen of spending time in God's word every day. Just like we have a regimen of feeding our body every day, we should feed our spirit and soul every day. What should we feed it? Feed it on the Word of God. Now, that doesn't mean you read your Bible 5 hours a day. I have a time that I set apart in the morning, every morning, where I get into the Word of God and I get into the Scripture and spend that time with Him. You with me? And feed my spirit on God's Word every morning before I start my day. And then I'll go. And if I happen to, on the rarest of occasions, miss that time in the Word, it's like leaving the house without brushing your teeth, without putting your socks on. You know what I mean? It just doesn't feel right. And so I go back and make sure I do it. All right? It's something I love doing. Done for years and years and years. But we should make feeding on God's Word a daily habit. Now, here's a little advice to you. I'll say this real quick. For those of you who may be new in Christ or new to studying the Bible, what should I study? It's a thick book. I don't understand the these and thous. Get a translation that's easy for you to understand, number one. Number two, focus on the New Testament. Start with Matthew and go to the right. The Gospels talk about Jesus, His life, His ministry, His death. And the rest of the letters are written to born-again, Spirit-filled people. You need to know the Old Testament, but don't focus on it. That's the pattern for the Christian life. You don't live in the Old Testament. If I wrote my wife a love letter and said all kind of gushy, mushy things, if you picked up the letter and read it, there's no use in you blushing. I wasn't talking to you. Are you with me? And that is the truth about many things that you'll find in the Old Testament. You're not a Jew living under the Mosaic law. So don't get hung up on Leviticus. Okay? One time I had a fella, he's passed away now. He had the office next to me. I worked with this guy for 21 years. One day he yelled at me, "Bill!" I said, "Yeah." He said, what is Leviticus 17:33? I said, "I don't know. Probably says something like, you know, don't sleep with your cousin or something like that." "Okay, I knew you would know." You know, he knew it was something legalistic like that. And now there's some good patterns and principles that we need to adhere to that we find in the Old Covenant. But Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Covenant. And when you come to Him and you're born again, now you have the ability, because of the life of God in you, to keep the law because it's your nature, not because you have to. Are you with me? So, we want to spend our time in the New Testament. Start with Matthew. Hang a right. So, in order to have a healthy heart, you got to have a healthy diet. You got to eat the right thing. When I hear people say things or hear people talk or teach about things, I always run those things through the filter of God's Word. In other words, what does God's Word say about that? And if it passes the muster, then I'll continue. If it doesn't, I just reject it. Are you with me? Now, that does not mean that you have to become belligerent, obnoxious, and offensive. You can be bold without being obnoxious. Did you know that?
Yes.
You don't have to make a scene. You don't have to whip your Bible out and hold it up in the air and tell somebody, oh, you're going to hell because you don't believe. No. That's not how to win friends and influence people. Are you with me? Just smile and say, well, I appreciate you sharing that with me, but I don't believe that. Okay, and then share your testimony. You'll get a lot further that way. Are you with me? And many times we're confronted with things in life that just plain flat out ain't so. You with me? We live in an age of information. We are bombarded with information. And I have news for you. Most of the information that we're bombarded with isn't true. It's based on a lie. I'll give you an example. I was in the barber shop several years ago, and one of the barbers was cutting my hair, you know, barbershop full of people. I've shared this before. And he said something that I found so outrageous, and the subject of 9/11 came up. And he said, oh, isn't that something, how all the Jews got out before the planes hit? I sat there, I said, I can't let this pass. That was an outrageous lie. And I sat there, and I finally couldn't take it anymore. I said, that's a lie, and I know where you got it from. I said this right in front of everybody. He said, oh? I said, yeah. That came from the poet laureate of Connecticut or New Hampshire, who's a nut. It's not true. I said, one of the financial brokerage houses that was just devastated by the first plane that hit one of the towers was a firm called Cantor Fitzgerald. Do you know what Cantor means in Hebrew? Singer. I said, they lost almost everybody in the company. I said, so that's a lie. You need to quit telling that thing. Oh, okay. So now when I get my hair cut, he doesn't say a whole lot about stuff like that to me. Because he knows I'll call him out. Are you with me? What am I saying to you? Don't be afraid to call people out when they're not telling the truth, but be Christ-like about it. You with me? And I mean, I used to do that in church. I did. I used to be a part of a church. They had testimony time. And if somebody got up and testified and said some goofy thing that wasn't true, I'd get up and correct them. You know, and one day somebody said, wow, I can't believe you did that. I said, did what? I can't believe you said that. I said, well, they got nerve enough to tell a lie. I got nerve enough to correct it. They said it publicly. I'm going to correct it publicly. You know, so most testimonies were pretty cool after that. You know, they didn't say that off-the-wall stuff. Sometimes people get up and they just ramble. You know what I mean? Don't ramble. Be purposeful with your words. So, if you're going to keep your heart healthy and protect your spirit, number one, you've got to feed on the right diet. Feed your spirit on God's Word. Amen? Everything else that you hear running through the filter of the Word. Jesus said, Thy Word, John 17, Father, keep them through Thy Word. Thy Word is truth. And so there are many things that people ascribe to, adhere to. They may be good principles. It's not based on truth. I'm not going there. It doesn't mean I'm going to be nasty and ugly and obnoxious. Y'all got it? Amen. You can disagree with people without being disagreeable. And many times there are people that you disagree with, you just need to love them. Because that's the only way you're going to reach them. You're not going to reach them by debating the Bible with them. My Bible debating days are long over. I quit doing that in the 70s because it's fruitless, pointless. I will pray for people, and if they really want to know the truth, I'll share it with them. Are you with me? But I'm not going to go around hammering people over the head just because I disagree. Who knows? I might be wrong in some areas. Possibility, isn't it? Are you with me? Y'all got quiet then, didn't you? Got real quiet. Listen, you need to be as noble as the people described in the book of Acts who lived in Thessalonica. And the writer of Acts says these people were more noble than other people in that they received the word with a ready mind, but then they went to the scriptures to check it out to see if it was really so. You need to do the same thing. Amen. Amen? If I teach anything and you can't find it in the Bible, forget it. Forget it. Amen. So, if we're going to protect our heart or have a healthy heart, number one, we need to have a healthy diet. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 15. Jeremiah chapter 15. Here's another passage that gives us more light. Jeremiah 15. And we're going to look at one verse. Let me catch up with you. Jeremiah 15, verse 16. And here's what the word says. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Listen, when you spend time meditating in God's word consistently, the joy of the Lord will just rise up on the inside of you because God will speak volumes to you through this book. Amen. The Holy Spirit will take this word and paint God's plan on the canvas of your heart. It will be a joy to you. And we should be just like Jeremiah when he said in verse 16, your words were found and I ate them. Your word was to me joy and rejoicing of my heart. Our main diet should always be the Bible. Amen? That doesn't mean we don't eat other things, we don't consume other things, but man, I tell you what, I live my life by the Word. When things are going well in my life, I live by the Word. When things aren't going well in my life, I live by the Word. Amen. When I'm faced with a challenge, I go to see what the Word says. When I'm faced with an opportunity, I go to the Word and see what the Word says. Amen. It might seem good from all outward appearance. I need to know what the Holy Spirit thinks about it. And so when I go to the Word, I always get light. The Bible says in Psalm 119, 105, Thy Word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What was he saying? He was simply saying, you guide me so that I can step in the right place when I follow your word. That's what gives us light and insight. So we've got to have a good diet. Number two, if you're going to have a healthy heart, turn with me to Mark chapter 11. Here's one that is very important, and many times people get hung up right here. Now, Margie mentioned that on Wednesday nights, we're studying Rick Renner's book, Knowing the Will of God. It's the key to your success. And right now, Minister Heidelberg is teaching from chapter 11 about offenses. More people get messed up because of offenses than just about anything else. Now, I'll tell you a little story. I shared this on Wednesday night. I had a woman last year. She was upset. She was complaining about something. And she was just unloading on me. You ever have anybody just unload on you? You know, many times people unload or they vent because they want to be heard. And it's important that we take the time to listen. That's why God gave you two ears and one mouth. You should listen more than you talk, especially when somebody's upset. Many times you can diffuse the whole situation if you'll just listen to them. Many times people are frustrated in life because nobody will listen. And so that's why they blow up and do crazy stuff. So this woman was unloading on me. Now, just so you know, I didn't do anything to her at all. I'm just in a position to listen. And then she said this. She said, now, I'm sorry to offend you, but, I said, hold on. I said, you can't offend me. And she said, what? I said, you don't have the ability to offend me. Or let me say it another way. I won't let you offend me. Let me go a little further. There's nothing you can possibly say that will ever offend me. Now, she got offended because I said she couldn't offend me. She got mad at me. What I was telling her was, listen, I don't care what you're about to share with me. I will not be offended. I refuse to be offended. I just want to let you know that up front. You don't have the ability to offend me. And so she shared her thing, but now she's mad because I said she couldn't offend me, which was true. Are you with me? Offense is a decision. Notice Mark chapter 11. We know that in verses 22, 23, 24, Jesus taught us the mechanics of faith, how faith works. I'll begin with verse 24. Therefore, I say to you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. But notice verse 25. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father which is in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. If you want to live a healthy life, if you want to have a healthy heart, if you want to live a life that's full of joy and peace, you must learn how to forgive. You must learn how to forgive. It is not worth carrying all that baggage around for the rest of your life. There's one thing I learned from Brother Hagin. It was this: when you miss it, be quick to repent and always be quick to forgive. That way you can live a life unimpeded by all that junk. You with me? Forgiveness is a commandment. Now, it takes a decision to do it, and it's not easy. Nobody likes to be offended or to be hurt, and we just respond naturally. But you have to make a decision to forgive. When you stand praying, forgive. If you don't forgive others, God won't forgive you. Now, I don't want to live in a position where God's not forgiven me, because who knows? I might mess up. You with me? I might say the wrong thing. I might do the wrong thing. Now, I have enough control and discipline in my life that, there's certain things I'm just not going to do. But, you know, life is such that many times we can make mistakes. I remember I was, not long ago, we were in Los Angeles and, I got to do all the driving, which was fine. But there were times I made some turns, ended up on the wrong side of the road. Me! I've been driving since I was 17 years old. Me! The guy who's never had a major accident. Me! I made a mistake. Ended up on the wrong side of the road. So it's possible. Thank God I didn't have an accident. But I was not familiar with those LA streets. Now here's the great thing. Any of you have a spouse or somebody who's like a backseat driver? Front seat driver? I see elbows flying. My wife has always told me when I drove, don't drive so close to people. You don't do that in L.A. Really? You told me that? You don't do that in L.A. Don't be driving up on people's bumpers. Well, we're in L.A. and the traffic's so thick. My wife's telling me now, come on, get closer before somebody cuts in. I'm like, what? I'm not riding his bumper. She said, you got to get up close. You got to get up close so nobody cuts in. And they will. They'll bogart right in there. But I said, I'm not eating this guy's bumper. If he stops, I don't have time to react. And so it was funny. She's like, don't get too close. And I said, hurry up, get closer. I love her. She's great. But who knows? You can make a mistake. We cannot afford to live our lives where we're in a position where God won't forgive us. Can't afford to live that way. Larry Lee had a statement. He was a minister still out there preaching, teaching. But he had a statement that was really great. He said, we need to live our lives and walk under an open heaven. That means everything that God has is available to you at any moment. There's nothing hindering, nothing blocking the way. You with me? Think of your spiritual relationship with God like a piece of PVC pipe. You need pipe that's not clogged up with all kind of stuff. And unforgiveness and bitterness is stuff that'll stop you from receiving from God. You have to forgive. Now, let's turn to Matthew chapter 18. Let's wrap this up. I want to show you something here. How to have a healthy heart. Number one, you got to eat the right thing. Number two, you must be forgiving. Matthew chapter 18. Here's a great parable that Jesus taught, beginning with verse 21. And it has to do with forgiveness. Then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" And Jesus said to him, "I don't say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." Now, in the context of one day, that's 490 times. "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he'd begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Now, if you converted that into our modern currency, 10,000 talents would amount to just a little over $9 million. "And when he'd begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me, and I'll pay you all.' Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him," notice this, "and forgave him the debt." What was he saying? He's saying, "You know what? Forget it. You don't owe me anything. Wipe the books clean." "But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants that owed him 100 denarii. Now, in modern currency, that equates to about $15. Found a man who owed him 15 bucks. And he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down at his feet, begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me and I'll pay you all.' And he would not. But he went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that he had done. Then his master, after he called him, said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?' And his master was angry, delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father will do also to each one of you if you from your heart do not forgive his brother his trespasses." Think about the debt that we owed, the sin debt. Think about the forgiveness which we have received. And notice that the debt is not on the books anymore. It was forgiven. That means it's gone. After we have been forgiven of so much, how can we refuse to forgive others? We can't do it. Now, I will tell you this. It takes faith to do it. Because your flesh doesn't want to do it. Your feelings don't want to do it. Your emotions don't want to do it. But you've got to, from your heart, make a decision to forgive them. And even though you don't feel like it, put your mouth in gear and say, "I forgive them in Jesus' name." The next time you see them, the adrenaline will start flowing. The hair will stand up on the back of your neck. You need to engage your mouth and say, "No, I forgive them in Jesus' name." You keep doing that for a while, your feelings will get in line. Amen? Your feelings will get in line. Now, understand me. It's one thing to forgive people. It's another thing to trust people. You have a commandment to forgive. You don't have a commandment to trust. Okay? Your crackhead nephew stole all your silverware. You need to forgive him. Doesn't mean you need to move him back up in your house. Are y'all with me? Amen. It's not worth it. Now, let me tell you a story. When I got out of college, I went to work for a five and dime chain as a retail manager trainee. G.C. Murphy's. Y'all remember G.C. Murphy's? Yep. I started in Meadville. That's how I came to Erie. So after the Meadville store, I got transferred to Newcastle. They had two stores, one downtown, one at the mall. And so I'm working at the store at the mall. Theft was a problem back then, just like it still is today. And so we had a security officer who did nothing but go between both stores and watch for shoplifters. And he trained me how to spot shoplifters. And, you know, I was 21 years old. You know, it was kind of exciting. You know, I could tell an amateur shoplifter from a pro. And I could catch them both. But this man was named Larry Smoke. And Larry was an older fellow. And the distinctive thing about this brother was that he had a bright white afro. I mean, you could spot Mr. Smoke 5 blocks away because he had that big white afro. And he was probably in his late 60s at the time. Well, one day, Mr. Smoke caught a shoplifter. And he would normally take them back to the restaurant manager's office. And so I got a call that Mr. Smoke needed help in the restaurant manager's office. All the managers had to go help Mr. Smoke. And so we're heading to the office. We hear this thumping and bumping and banging. We open the door. I'm standing there with the store manager, who was a man of about 70 years old. And there's this dude, Larry Smoke, is in the corner on the floor. The desk is turned upside down. Chairs have been thrown up against the wall. And there's this dude standing there with one handcuff hanging from his wrist. Smoke was trying to detain him until the cops got there. This fella looked like he was a running back for the Dallas Cowboys. I'm serious. This dude was fit. Big pecs, big muscles, Smoke's on the floor. And we're standing there, and Mr. Smoke says, he stole an afro comb. Now, for those of you who don't know what an afro comb is, it fits in your back pocket, made out of plastic, has big teeth on it. Retail price, 69 cents. He stole an afro comb. Smoke's on the floor. This dude's got a handcuff hanging from his wrist. And we opened the door, and he looked at the manager. He says, you too old. And then he looked at me. He says, I know you ain't gonna do nothing. And right then, I made a quick calculation in my mind. I said, you know what? Afro comb, 69 cents. Getting beat up, it ain't worth it. He said, you ain't going to do nothing. I said, you're right. Here you go. I stepped aside and let it walk out. Because it wasn't worth getting lumps on my head for an afro comb. Are you with me? Well, in the same manner, it's not worth you going through life carrying unforgiveness. It ain't worth it. Let it go. Just like I let that fella go, you need to let that offense go. It ain't worth it. Let it go. I stepped aside. I said, right this way. You know, and Mr. Smoke was a little upset. Like, why didn't you grab him? I'm like, oh, no, brother. Uh-uh. No. For a 69 cent afro comb? I don't think so. Not today. You know, we need to do sometimes like Jesus said at the tomb of Lazarus, loose them and let them go. I mean, just get rid of it. Turn with me to one last passage, Psalm 61. Psalm 61. When it comes to offense and unforgiveness, not worth it. Let it go. Let it go. Psalm 61, I'm going to read the entire psalm. And it says this, hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that's higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings, Selah. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You've given me the heritage of those who fear your name. You will prolong the king's life. David wrote this psalm. His years as many generations. He will abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So I will sing of your praise to your name forever. that I may daily perform my vows. What was David doing? He was simply exercising himself through worship. You want to live a healthy life, have a healthy heart, protect your spirit. Number one, feed on God's Word. Number two, be quick to forgive. Number three, exercise daily through worship. There's nothing like worship. Engage your heart with the Lord's heart. Spend time in His presence every day. That'll keep you healthy. Amen? Now, one of the things that your doctor will tell you many times, if you're having an issue with your heart, he'll ask you, you know, what are you doing for exercise? Man, if you don't do anything else, just walk. Just walk. You know, instead of getting in the car, riding to the store, take a walk. Amen? Well, the same thing is true with your life spiritually. You need to exercise. You need to exercise what God has put in you, what He's done for you. And the best way to do that, other than sharing your testimony with others, is to worship. Spend time in His presence every day. As I mentioned right after worship this morning, Israel was required to do it. We have the privilege of doing it at any given moment. Exercise your life through worship. Amen? Did you learn anything today? God is so good. Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah.